But as you look into the future, let's say 20 or 50 years from now, what is our society going to look like?
Well, I think we've got a portent of what is actually going to happen with the oil crisis that is heading towards us. 20 to 50 years is right in the time frame of us starting to find that oil is a very scarce and unreplenishable resource. Right now, when I fill up my car in the UK, it cost me over $120. I can just hear the American audience wincing at that number. But imagine.
Wait a minute. How many gallons are we talking about?
Let me give you the size of the car. This is a Lexus 430.
Okay, and I guess you call them liters also, though.
That's one of the difficulties. Also, the imperial gallon and the U.S. gallon is slightly different. The U.S. gallon is a little smaller. So I always think in terms of talking to Americans, especially in terms of a tank full of gas.
Yeah. We know what a tank full is. Okay.
Yeah, well, a tank full of gas over here is pretty damn expensive. Mostly it's tax. And it's really there to try and dissuade us from, one, traveling so much, and two, traveling in big cars. And, I kind of fell in love with big cars in the U.S., and I fell in love with this one because it's rather a nice vehicle to drive. But, the price hike will gradually come up. So if you say, what are we going to replace gasoline with? It turns out that oil has got the highest density storage of just about any plentiful fluid that we can put our hands on. And the only thing where we could get a dense energy storage would be nuclear power. What is going to happen? If we go to a hydrogen economy, we finish it with a gas tank that's about five times bigger than the one we've already got. It probably means that aircraft can't fly. So we could be heading towards a future that bifurcates in this way. Traveling everywhere all of the time with total freedom is a very, very recent occurrence, and I am talking my lifetime. If you go back to the early 1950s, late 1940s, no one traveled anywhere, and certainly no one traveled internationally.
Well, that's true. Even driving was bad. The freeway system was almost non-existent.
Yeah, no one had roads. No country had really good road systems. So, in fact, probably the first nation since ancient Rome to put in decent roads was probably Germany, and that was done by Hitler to speed communication across his country, probably for not just social means but for military means. But we've now all got reasonable freeway systems. You can travel with ease at reasonable cost. We may see that freedom taken away because of natural resources. So I sit here looking at a future that says, well, if we're not going to have oil, what are we going to use? And could we travel? So if I put a few things out that are on the wild side, okay, how about using a linear accelerator, I mean an electrical means of propulsion, to accelerate an aircraft down a ramp and fling it into the air like a dart.
Like a slingshot, right?
Slingshot it and glide it across the Atlantic, because it goes up to something like 120,000 feet plus and then come down and land in the U.S. Technically feasible. All you'd need is nuclear power, which, contrary to political belief and popular belief, remains the safest, most reliable means of generating mass amounts of energy.
Well, I don't know. You couldn't say that about Chernobyl, though, could you?
You couldn't say that about the millions of coal miners that have died, and you couldn't say that about the thousands of oil workers who have died, or indeed the pollution through those industries. Nobody worries about the carbon-14 that is sprinkled down all over us every day from nuclear power stations, but from coal-fired power stations.
Sure.
So, we're on this sort of seesaw of good technology, bad technology.
What you're saying is we're really trapped either way.
Yeah, we're kind of trapped in a way. So you have countries like France, for example, who have gone hellfire for a nuclear program, and they are now generating close to 80% of all their energy requirements using nuclear power. They sell their excess to countries like the UK, where we only generate about 22% with nuclear power. And here, to my mind, is the big deal. We have means of generating power. We can extract power from the wind. from the waves, from tidal power, from geothermal, all kinds of sources that we can get power from, but we don't have a means of storing it. And especially in countries like the UK, we don't have the physical
capacity
geography or capacity to store the energy. So we have only got one pumped storage scheme in the whole of the UK of any worth. That is, you have a mountain, at the bottom of the mountain you have a lake, at the top of the mountain you have a lake. When you've got lots of energy, you pump water from the bottom lake to the top lake. When you're short of energy, you let the energy run back down. Mm-hmm. That's a super battery, if you like. That's relatively easy to do in the United States because you've got such wonderful natural resources. But in a lot of countries like mine, where you've got 60 million people on a piece of land about half the size of Texas, you just don't have the mountain ranges to do that. So, if you like, battery technology is going to be a big deal. How do we store energy? We currently have a policy in the UK of putting wind farms everywhere. There's a misguided belief that this is going to save our butt, but it is not going to save us because the wind stops blowing, the lights go out.
That's right.
That's bluntly where we're headed.
And you can't, like you said, you can't store it, really.
And you can't store it. So, unfortunately, you know, people have lost sight of a few basics of not just economics, but engineering, physics, too. So the blackouts that you had in the United States, I was, you know, sort of both amused and perturbed to see the Europeans pointing the finger and saying, oh, look at our American cousins, they've made a complete hash of it. Couldn't happen here because we're Europeans. Oh, no, a month later the lights went out in Italy, the lights went out in the UK. And why? Because market forces had taken out 10% of the overcapacity in the whole generation of electricity. So if you look at the overcapacity in the United States, that is what you have, what can you generate over and above what you think the peak demand is, it's only about 5%. So you get a really severe winter, you're going to get blackouts.
More in trouble.
A very, very severe summer with all the air conditioners, you're going to get blackouts.